Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. To those of you who are in our sanctuary, we welcome you this morning, this Communion Sunday morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. And to those of you who are family and friends who are joining us on Facebook and YouTube Live, welcome and happy Communion Sunday morning. We are streaming live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where our very own Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. We are going to proceed by moving directly into our morning scripture. So if you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 34. If you can, please stand in the sanctuary. Amen. Verse 23 reads, I have already told you what the Lord Jesus did on the night he was betrayed, and it came from the Lord himself. He took some bread in his hands. Then after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Eat this and remember me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I'm going to ask our deaconess, Helena Weich, to come up and lead us in the confession of faith.
Good morning. Good morning. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Thank you this morning for this Holy Communion service.
Yeah.
We come together to reflect back to what Christ has done and forward, as we look forward to the great marriage supper,
yeah,
where we'll all gather together to eat this Passover with him in person. Thank you for the elements that are before us this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would consecrate them now for the purpose of Holy Communion.
Yes.
May this bread be as the body of our Lord. May the grape juice be as his shed blood. As we partake this morning, we may be mindful of the fact that we're eating the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This we ask in his name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm going to ask that you would get your sacraments in your hand. Those of you joining us online, we're going to ask that you take whatever you have consecrated and prepared. If you have crackers at home, if you're using, maybe you have unleavened bread at home, whatever you've set aside, representing bread, ask that you would get that now. Whatever you have representing the body of Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would get it and just lift it up. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the scripture says he took bread, he broke it and blessed it, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body, broken for you." I say the same to all of you. Eat ye all of it. That same night, that same Passover meal, he also took the fourth cup of the Passover. He said to his disciples, lifting it up, he said, "This wine represents the new agreement between you and God, a new agreement, a new covenant, signed by my very own blood." He said to his disciples, "Drink ye all of it." Our Father and our God, what a privilege we have to come into fellowship and communion with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What an honor it is to find ourselves in unity with God Himself. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for directing us with your Holy Word. And help us to now walk worthy of the calling by which you have called us unto salvation. Now that we have come into fellowship with you, sweet communion with you, fellowship with one another, communion with other like-minded faith believers. Help us all today, tomorrow, the weeks, the days, years ahead. Help us to walk worthy of the great sacrifice that you've made for us. The breaking of your own body. The shedding of your own blood, that we might have a right to the tree of life. Sanctify us today. Make us holy. Cause us to become even as Christ is. Until that day when we shall all sit down at the Lord's table in our Father's kingdom. So we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. You may be seated in your homes. If you are at home and we're standing, thank you. We praise you. We thank God for a first Sunday in March. Amen. Some of us were not 100% sure we would make it to the first Sunday in March, but yet here we are, right? And to God be the glory for the great things he has done in us by Christ Jesus. Amen. So we thank you again for being with us Thank you for those who are here in the sanctuary and upstairs in the overflow. Thank you for taking advantage to the new capacity limits that are now available to us for all houses of worship. We thank you for that. Those that are continuing to join us online, we thank you for your faithfulness in meeting us here at the appointed hour. And with that, we're going to draw your attention to the Word of God. If you have your Bible in hand, I'm going to ask you to go to the Gospel of St. Mark. I'm in the very first chapter. I'm just going to look after four or five verses, verses 16 through 21. The Gospel of St. Mark, the very first chapter, verses 16 through 20. Very familiar passage, one that you may have learned as a youngster, Sunday school, fishers of men. So we're just going to take just a few moments this Sunday morning and just kind of examine this passage, if you will. Hey, if you're here in the sanctuary, I am going to invite you to stand with me. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. You may have a different translation in your hand or your iPhone or on your Androids. But if you're there, you will see these words. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus called out to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Verse 19, and when he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called out to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. And so this morning, I just want to hang my comments on the phrase and the format of call and response. Call and response. Father, bless and consecrate your word to our heart. Cause it to find a permanent place in our hearts and in our lives. And let it cause us to be transformed by its very words. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. In African cultures, call and response is a widespread pattern of democratic participation. African slaves in the Americas continued this practice over centuries in various forms of expression. They included religious services, public gatherings, children's rhymes, and most notably in various forms of music. From blues to gospel, rhythm and blues, jazz, hip-hop, and even go-go incorporate the call and response format. Many work songs sung on plantations by enslaved men and women also incorporated the call and response format. This format fosters dialogue between all parties. In contemporary African American worship services, such as ours, it is there that we find the use of call and response used often extensively. Oftentimes, a pastor will call out to their congregants to engage in an enthusiastic response. For example, he or she might say, "Can I get an amen?" Eliciting a response from the congregation. Or they may say, "Raise your hand and give the Lord praise." Again, the calling out and eliciting a response. In today's text, however, we see a different call and response technique used by Jesus Christ in recruiting his initial disciples. Are you with me so far? Here we go. Verse 16, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen." One of the things I have often wondered is what led Simon and Andrew to become fishermen. What was it? There were opportunities to do other things. If you look at the makeup of Jesus' disciples, they came from various fields doing various things: doctors, a tax person, fishermen. I mean, they kind of ran the gamut. So what caused these men to become fishermen? And it may be not unlike many of us today in the profession we find ourselves. And that is, we are often drawn to a particular job, maybe a career or profession or a certain passion, primarily by an interest we may have in it. We can be drawn to a particular area because we may possess a certain skill set needed in that area or industry. And also, there is always the effect of the availability of opportunity. Now, the availability of opportunity was obviously there because the scripture says what? Jesus was walking where? By the Sea of Galilee. So if anywhere there's going to be fishing opportunity and fishing companies, they're going to be down by the what? Down by the seaside. So there was opportunity available for them. And then also, there must have been something of an interest in them that drew them to working in the water. Are you with me on that? And so something must have drawn them into this particular profession or career. And no doubt, not only them, but as we read further down, also James and John, who were also fishermen. But at the end of the day, the reality is this, that all of these men became fishermen because there was something about the aquatic kingdom that drew them. Are you with me on that? It had to be something about it. Something about the water. Something about it must have drawn or called them in to this particular area of work. You follow me on it? Here we go, verse 17. And said, "And Jesus called out to them and said, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And then Jesus called out to them." Here these guys are, Simon and Andrew, Peter and Andrew. The Bible said they were casting their net. They were hard at work, doing what they did every day to provide for their family. And in the middle of their day, in the middle of their life, here comes Jesus. And Jesus calls out to them. Now here is something that I like about God. God always takes the initiative. I don't know if you understand or even recognize that. even as it relates to yours and my salvation, it is not because of what we have done that we are saved. But it's because God took the initiative, and by his grace we are saved. And I can prove it because I got a witness. John 15 and 16 says what? Jesus tells his disciples, and one of my favorite verses, he said, guys, you got to remember something. You have not chosen me. He said, guys, don't get it twisted. You guys did not, I was the one on the Sea of Galilee who called out to you and drew you unto me. Said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen. I took look, try this one on for size. I got another witness. The Bible said, while we were yet sinners, my real church would take this message. They say, Pastor, we got it. You don't even need to do the rest. We got it. Said, while we were still sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. He took the initiative for our salvation. Are you glad about it? I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. Because had God not taken the initiative, I don't think I would have. But thanks be unto God. Am I right about it? Here it is. He calls out. He takes the initiative. And he says something to these guys. He says, hey, now that I've got your attention, I want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. I gotta imagine Simon and Andrew looking. They're out in the water, bracing their neck, trying to draw it in. This guy calls, I want you to follow me. And I can only imagine they probably looked at him and just, they had to ask this question. Why follow you? It doesn't look like anyone else is following you. Now, I can understand if he was there in masses and, you know, he had his entourage with him. Like, oh, hey, something going on here. It's popping. It's about to jump. These were the first, and Jesus had nobody with him. Yet, he calls these guys, watch this, to come into fellowship with him. If you're writing it down, write it down. The call was for fellowship. Follow me. He would say, come hang out with me. I'm going to be visiting some towns in this area, and I just want you to come along, watch this, and keep me company. That's follow me. Just come. Let's just hang out. Have you ever called somebody and say, hey, what you doing tonight? I ain't doing, come on, let's hang out. You ain't doing nothing, I ain't doing nothing. Look, let's get into something. Let's just hang out. Even if we just come and hang out in the living room, let's just hang out. That's fellowship. You're home by yourself. I'm home by myself. Let's get together and have fellowship. So he called, it says, follow me. So he called, he gives them an invitation to come into fellowship with himself. But also, because as we read the rest of the story, we know this to be true. This is important. He calls them into fellowship with others he will call. Right? He calls Simon and Andrew first. But the text says he goes a little further and then what? Calls James and John. And he didn't keep them all separate. He said, I called all of y'all. Just all of y'all. He said, we're all going to hang out together. So the call is for fellowship first with Christ, then with others he will also call. Jesus said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. He said, them also must I bring. That means there are other folks coming into this fellowship, and it's a fellowship what? For all of us. That's what communion is all about. All of us, you, me, those have been saved a long time ago. Those that are just gotten saved. Those who are just starting to mature. All of us come together and we have fellowship or unity in Christ Jesus. The Hebrew word koinonia. That which we have what? In common is Christ Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, follow him. Takes the initiative, invites them in the fellowship, and then answering the question that they didn't ask out loud, but they asked in their heart. If we're going to follow you, we're going to follow you for what? What is it that you're getting ready to get into that you assume will be attractive to us? Because I'm over here working. Providing for my family. Providing for those that are dependent on me. If you're going to call me out of work, it's got to be what? It's got to be important. Don't just call me so we can go golfing. I'm out here. I'm casting my net. If you're going to call me, it has to be of equal or greater importance to what I'm doing. This is what he said. He said, I will make you become fishers of men. Here it is. When God calls and challenges us to follow him, he will often link our background and past experiences to his purposes for our lives. I'm going to say it again because I didn't get my slides ready this Sunday, but here it is. When God calls and challenges us to follow him, he will often link our background, our past experiences, to his purposes for our life. Here you go. Let me come at it this way. Maybe this will help you get it. Often when Jesus taught, the Bible said he spoke in parables. Primarily, he did that because he was going to be speaking to them about things and places they didn't know. So what does any good teacher do when trying to teach a concept that is foreign to their audience? I'm getting ready to teach you something you don't know. So how do I bridge the gap in your knowledge to get you to understand? And a good teacher will always, follow this, take something you do know and relate it to that which they're trying to teach that you don't know. So look, I don't want you to get the concept. I want you to get the parable. Because if I can get you to see how what you are doing now relates to what I am trying to teach you here, you'll get the whole thing. So the Bible said he often taught in parables, right? And so in a similar fashion, I'm calling you guys to follow me. And I know what you're thinking. Follow you for what? So here it is. If I were to tell them, follow me, because the kingdom of God is at hand, we all would be eating salmon tonight. Because those boys would have what? They would have kept right on fishing. The kingdom of who? What? Later for that. I can't relate to that. So I'm going to ignore it. But no, Jesus said, no, I got it. I'm going to use something you do understand. You understand fishing. Why? Because the text said what? They were fishermen. So he said, I'm going to take something you do understand, and I am going to apply it to a realm that you don't understand. Right now, you are fishermen fishing for fish in the sea. So when you follow me, I'm going to show you how to become a fisherman, not of fish, but of the souls of men that are lost in this world. So you're going to go from the Sea of Galilee to the whole world, but it's still a sea. But instead of being filled with various species of fish, It is filled with various men and women at all different places in life. But the same way you cast that net into the sea, it's going to be the same way you cast the Word of God into this world. And the same way you draw that net into the shore, it's going to be the same way that you draw men and women into the kingdom of God. He said, that's why I want you to follow me, because I got something to do. Look at your neighbor and say, fishers of men. Here it is. Here it is. You get this. You got the sermon. Verse 18. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now watch this. Verse 17 was the call. Hey, Simon. Hey, Andrew. Follow me. That's the call. Fishers of men. That's the call. Now here is the response. Verse 18. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Their response was immediate, decisive, and action-orientated. Immediate, decisive, and action-orientated. Hebrews 3:15. The Bible says, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Are you with me? If I put the mic down, you got the sermon. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. These men did not delay in responding to the call of Jesus. Something registered in them that if I don't make this move now, I may not get a second chance. The fish will always be in the sea. My net, as long as somebody doesn't come along and steal it, it'll still be here. But my one shot to follow Jesus is today. And if I don't make an immediate and decisive and action-orientated response, I may not get this chance ever again. Are you with me on it? James 1:22 says this, be not hearers only of the word, but be what? Doers. Be motivated for action. Jesus says this, another point in the Gospels. Some respond to the call of Jesus and say, you know what? Let me go home and bury my parents. Jesus, I'm with you. It's just, I can't get with you right now. All right? I got some other things popping off. I got some other things in the work. Give me some time. I'll get with you later. Jesus simply said, let the dead bury the dead. You will always have dead people in the ground, just like you will always have fish in the sea. But this opportunity before you now is only available today. Here, I'll give you this. Here's the key to the sermon. You can only respond when he calls. That's the message. So the converse has to be true. If he stops calling, I wish I had a real church. This is the part of the gospel people don't preach. They think it's available until the ninth inning. May not be. If he stops calling, you can't respond. He says of his spirit, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So if you don't respond to the call today, am I helping anybody? Here it is. Here it is. Let me get out of this. If I could say anything to anybody today, it would be this. When Jesus calls, do not delay in responding. The kingdom of God is here right now. So don't delay. Don't wait. Respond to his call right now. Here it is. I'm in verse 19. I'm almost finished. When he had gone a little further from there that he saw James, son of Zebedee, John, his brother. They were also in the boat mending their nets. I'm going a little further. James, John, Zebedee, the boat mending their nets. Jesus kept going on his campaign, calling people in to the kingdom of God. And I'm not in here. The only thing I want you to get out of this, I want you to notice something. Like I told you earlier, he calls them into fellowship, first with himself, then with others that he will call. On this second call, not only is it Jesus, not only is it James and John, there are two other people here that are not mentioned. Simon and Andrew. Because when Jesus called, they responded immediately. So even though they're not mentioned in these two verses, guess what? They're there. And they now, here it is, this is important, get to observe the master at calling people in to the kingdom. Now, I don't have to preach that. Either you got it or you didn't. He called them to follow. And the very first day of school, he gives them a lesson. Stay here and just watch what I do and say. Now, I want you to get this. The text does not tell us what he said. Peter, Simon, and Andrew, it tells us, called out. Follow me. Look at this, 19 and 20. Doesn't say what he said. What is implied is that he may have said something similar to what he said previously, because James and John were also what? Fishermen. But it doesn't say, and I'm glad that it doesn't say, because it a lot, this is where your gift comes in. The principle is, as followers, they had to get used to learning how to call men into the kingdom. What I'm glad that it didn't say anything, because the way you call someone into the kingdom may be entirely different from the way I call someone into the kingdom. Why? Because we all have different what? Gifts. So the way you do it is going to be different than the way I do it. But the thing that we'll have in common is that what? The message will always be the same. Are you with me on this? That's 19. I'm done with it. 20 and I'm out. Here it is. Here. Immediately, he called to them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired servants, and went after him. Calls these guys. They hear them. Like Simon and Andrew, they make an immediate and decisive action-orientated move in response to the call of Jesus. So what I want to look at with these guys, and we'll bring Simon and Andrew into it too, but not so much what they went after, Jesus, the kingdom of God. I want you to look or take at what they left to follow Jesus. Notice the emphasis in this verse. With Simon and Peter, it was the call and their response. And John and James, he doesn't get into what he said, how he doesn't say, I'm going to make you, he doesn't say any of that. But it does tell us what James and John left to follow Jesus. You get this, you got the sermon. Here it is. It's in your text. Look at it. Immediately, they left their father. For most sons, the greatest man they will ever know is often their father. overwhelming majority of the time. Primarily because it is the male figure they what? See the most. We get to observe our fathers every single day. And we learn from them every single. That's why the bond between a father and son is so special. Nothing can be compared to it. But yet, at the call of Christ, the text says they immediately when Jesus called these guys, they were not young boys. They were grown men. Call of Jesus. Hey, Dad, I got to go. Here it is. Watch this. You're getting it. So they leave family. Now watch this. And not only leave their father, look what the text says. They left hired servants in the boat with Dad. Here it is. I'm out of time. Peter and Andrew, they had what you call a small business. There were two employees, Simon and Andrew. But James and John's father not only had his sons in the business, but he had employees as well, getting salary, benefits, health insurance, life insurance, 401ks. Are you with me on this? So his business had grown to a significant size. Yet James, yet John, at the call of Jesus, not only say goodbye to their father, they also say goodbye to a family wealth inheritance. These boys have been set up for life by their father. But at the call of Jesus, at the voice of the Master, they leave not only family relationship, they leave financial wealth, all because this chance may not come my way ever again. And I've got to make a choice today. The Master calls. I've got to respond. Here it is. I'm finished. Here it is. Get this. This ties it all together. Get this. The call is for fellowship, but the response is for discipleship. That's the whole sermon. They always tell preachers, get your sermon down to one sentence. Here it is. The call for fellowship, but the response is discipleship. Here it is. I'm finished. I got the Girl Scouts here. I got to hurry up. Here you go. A disciple is someone who follows the teachings, life, and aim of another until that person becomes like their master. That's what a disciple is. Someone follows the teaching, life, and aim of someone else. They follow them so closely until they become like their master. Here it is, discipleship from a Christian perspective. It's the process of making someone become like Christ. The disciple of Christ is to become like Christ in every way. The call, fellowship. The response, discipleship. You may come because you want to hang out. You may come for that reason. But if you're going to stay, the only way you're going to be able to stay is if you become a disciple. The only way you're going to stay. And if you become a disciple, your whole focus becomes becoming like him. This is the kingdom of God's version of call and response. This is not me saying, let the church say yeah. This is not a preacher saying, let somebody in the church say amen. Listen. And a lot of people come to church just for that. I wonder what the preacher's going to preach today. Have you ever considered it doesn't matter what the preacher preaches today? As long as God shows up some way, somehow, in some kind of fashion, and my spirit is stirred by God, that's all that matters. Even if the preacher don't preach, if something can happen to cause me to become more like Christ today, then I'm glad I came. So if the pastor don't hoop, if the pastor doesn't moonwalk, if the pastor doesn't issue a call in response, I'm growing. I'm becoming more and more like him. That's my response. That has to be your response to the call to the kingdom of God. Are you with me on that? The sermon's over. Here it is. Luke 9:23. He said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, here's the call. Let him deny himself. This is discipleship. Take up his cross and follow me. Here it is. I got it in my notes. I'm glad I wrote it down. Take up his cross daily, every day. I'm going to say this. I'm done. You got the message. You know what people like about Christianity? You know how people like church and Jesus and all that good stuff? They like it because of this. You can see that at home. It's a picture of Christ up on the cross. And we love any religion. It doesn't have to be limited to Christianity. We love any religion or anything, watch this, that puts somebody else up on the cross. Watch this. As long as you on the cross, we get to be saved. We get to be, look, nobody punching us in the face. Nobody putting crowns of thorns on our head. Nobody ramming a spear in our side. And as long as it stays like that, I'm with you, Pastor. Oh, Pastor, you don't know I am with you. You don't even understand how much I'm with you. As long as you're the one on the cross. But I tell you, he calls us into fellowship. But the price we all must pay is discipleship. We've got to put our own bodies. Right? Isn't that what the Roman writer said? Present your body. What? A living sacrifice. Where? Up on the cross. Put it up on there. You will take the shots now. You'll take the punches now. Simon, it was all cool as long as he was feeding the 5,000. So it was all cool. Jesus said, guys, I'm getting ready to get out of here. And when I leave, everything they did to me, they're going to do to you. Watch this. And worse. Are you still willing to follow me? That's the question this Sunday. Every Sunday, he makes the call. You can't deny it. You hear it every Sunday. You read it throughout. He's calling you. And today is the day of decision. What are you going to do? Are you ready to make an immediate and decisive action-orientated response? If you are, accept Christ today. Be like these guys. Make a choice immediately and follow Jesus. Here I am, Lord. Save me. Here I am, Lord. I've heard you calling me all my life. Today I receive you into my heart. Today I receive you into my life. Today I make you Lord. I'll say this and I close. They left family, friends, they left a lot of things. And so I want to say this. Christ is not calling us to do exactly that today. But this is what he's calling. He's calling for us to reprioritize him in our lives. I'll say this and I'm done. Here it is. Two things. One, the money trail never lies. It never lies. Anytime the police or FBI, anybody you watch the TV show, they start and investigate. What's the first thing they do? Check the credit card's bank account. Why? Because the money trail don't lie. Your God can often be seen in your finances. Because it's what? What you give your money to. That's who the real God is in your life. Money trail never lies. And the second thing is, time never lies. Don't ever tell a woman you love her and don't ever spend no time with her. Why? She'll know what you're lying. Because if you really love me, really care for me, you would demonstrate it how? By what? Spending time with me. Get it, church? You know what everybody's doing now during the pandemic? My wife's doing, Jermaine's doing, everybody. Reprioritize. Reprioritizing the kitchen. The house, what we do, when we do, how we do. Because now you got all this time to finally sit back and take inventory of what's going on. You know what? We're doing too much of this. We're cutting that out. You know what? We're spending too much money. We got to reprioritize. Are you with me? That's what today's message is about. Your response is you have to reprioritize. Because if we would look at the telltale signs, he's not your Lord. You don't spend time with him. He's not your Lord. You don't support his kingdom. You follow what I'm saying? He's calling today. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to hear the voice of the Lord. Thank you for calling us. Even when we didn't call you. Thank you for calling us out of darkness, placing us into the marvelous light and love of your kingdom. Now help us to respond in like fashion. Help us to respond to the call of discipleship. Help us to accept you, to love you, to follow after you, and ultimately become like you. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you accepted Christ today, I want you to go online. You're already on your computer, your phone, your mobile device. Jump on our website. Send me a message. Say, Pastor, I heard the call today. And I responded. I didn't put it off. I didn't delay it. I didn't say wait till after the pandemic. I responded today. Will you call me and let me know? Will you give me your email address? Give me your cell phone. I want to connect you to the Word of God. For this, I thank you and I praise God for you today. Amen. God bless you, Taylor. Now we're going to move and have our offering. I believe our offering is up next. So they're going to come in. If you would give them your attention. we would appreciate it. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving, through our website, or also by U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithe and offering and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Thank you. Oh. Sorry. We're going to have our Women's in History read today. And I would like to take this opportunity to let everyone know that today starts our Girl Scouts Week. And Girl Scouts all around the world celebrate with different events. So we'd like to also thank our Taylor Tabernacle family who supports our Girl Scouts, Kennedy and Zoe. We thank you all so much. You support them with everything that they do. So we just like to say thank you. So here comes Kennedy. We also, it's a women's history fact, a black history fact, and a Girl Scout fact. Thank you. So here she comes.
Josephine Holloway was the first African American Girl Scout troop leader. She was instrumental in desegregating the Girl Scouts of Middle Tennessee. In 1933, Miss Holloway attempted to form an African American Girl Scout troop, but her request was denied. In 1942, Miss Holloway finally established Troop 200, Nashville's first black Girl Scout troop. Her continued efforts led to 13 new troops in 18 months. She was also the first black professional Girl Scout employee. She served as a field advisor and district director and camp director in 1955. The Girl Scouts named Camp Holloway in honor of Miss Josephine Groves Holloway. That camp is still in operation today.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. That was our very own Kennedy McCoy. She did an excellent job. What great reading. Thank you so much. We're going to proceed with our announcements this morning. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of the church and the new capacity limits. Oh, I just saw my Miss Sister Anita Butler, who's supposed to be doing our announcements. Anita, do you want to come up and continue? I didn't see that she had come and sat in the back. So I grab my sheet. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
What a great time to be back in the house of the Lord. Okay, our announcements today. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us for the reopening of the church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook, YouTube Live, so that you may continue to join the worship from your home. In response to the City of Philadelphia's most recent restrictions on religious services, we are now limited to 20 people in the sanctuary, 20 people on the third floor overflow area. Additionally, the church van service is suspended until further notice. Please keep this in mind so you can plan your transportation accordingly. March is Women's Month, ladies. Yay. Prayer and Bible study nights at 7:30 p.m. will be led by Deaconess Kiriton, Williams, Lyons, and Witch. March 18th, Pastor Ford, along with Rabbi Earl Bowen and Rabbi David Strauss, for a unique Bible study on Passover and Easter from the Jewish and Christian perspective. At 7 p.m. via Zoom, further details will be provided. March 21st, excuse me, a day of hope supporting the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society during our morning worship. March 28th is Palm Sunday. And I believe that's all the announcements. You enjoy the rest of your day. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for reading those announcements. Pastor is now up with us, and he is going to provide us with our Communion Sunday benediction.
Shall we all stand? As always, thank you for being a great audience, both here in the sanctuary, those joining us online. We always appreciate your fellowship, right? He's called us into fellowship. And so I just pray that you would go forward in the strength and in the might of the Lord. Be encouraged, saints of God. Be encouraged. Walk with him. Trust him. I also want to close by thanking our deaconess, Helena Weich, and deaconess Kim Lyons for leading us this past week in our week of fasting. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I was blessed. I was blessed. I was blessed. I was blessed. Thanks to all of our ladies who sent out the daily reminders, calling us back to prayer at 6 p.m., calling us back to prayer at 6 a.m. in the morning. It meant a lot, and we are strengthened and made better. Watch this, tied to the sermon, and we become more like him. The only way it happens is based on the amount of time you spend with him. And so we're so grateful for the time spent this past week in fellowship with one another, and above all, with Christ Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And how glad we are, how excited that we rejoice. We rejoice in the God and the King of our salvation. We rejoice because you paid it all. You paid the price for us. You took the initiative, and that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And so we thank you and we praise you now. And we just ask you, go with us, stand by us, fight for us. Stand up strong in the life and in the heart and mind of the believer each and every day this week. And allow us to assemble ourselves together again next Sunday here in your house of prayer. This we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen. 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 God bless you, Taylor Nation. Be blessed. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks, Aaron.